This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 266 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
So as we were saying for the 5 seconds we talked before we hit record, I didn't watch a lot this week.
No, neither did I. Not a lot to watch, really.
No, there really isn't.
I know we regularly come across these times when we'll say, oh, we're heading into, you know, X season where there aren't going to be a lot of shows. You know, like in this case, it's, oh, we're heading into the summer season and a lot of stuff has had its finales. And I think this time, like, legitimately, there's not a lot starting up that I care about. It'll probably prove me wrong. You know, this happens every time we do this, we'll be like, yep, there's nothing going to be worth watching. Within a week or two, we're like, oh, and I've picked up this and this and this, and this one came back. And
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of what typically happens, but looking on the horizons, there's really not a lot there.
Nope.
I tried to watch a new show. I just couldn't get into it. Maybe I wasn't in the right frame of mind, but I tried to watch the Underground Railroad show that's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, that I did not watch.
Yeah, I tried. I just couldn't get into it.
Mm.
And
is it supposed to be like historically accurate type thing or?
Well, yeah, I don't know if it is or not. I know it's based on a novel that's called The Underground Railroad, if you will, that came out in 2016. But I don't know if it's actually based on, I guess it starts right out, a fictional story of people attempting to escape from slavery in southern United States in the 1800s, utilizing a key plot element, employing a literary style of magic realism. In reality, the Underground Railroad was a network of abolitionist hidden routes and safe houses that helped enslaved African Americans escape to freedom in the early 1800s, mid to 1800s. In the novel and in the series, it is an actual railroad complete with engineers, conductors, tracks, and tunnels. Huh. So apparently it is literally an underground railroad. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually get through the first episode.
Just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, no, I just couldn't. And it's funny because I'm looking at this and it said the first episode was like 50 hour and 15 minutes, so 75 minutes, right? It says the episode length's runtime vary from 20 to 77 minutes.
What?
20 yeah.
to 77? That is absurd.
Yeah, it really, really is. So, yeah. So, but anyhow.
I mean, we do have a couple of things to talk about. We've got at least three shows that we are regularly watching. We've got two shows that we regularly watch that had finales this week, one of which turned out to be a series finale, which I'm pissed about. And then some miscellaneous random shows that we watched.
Yeah. So like we had the season finale of This Is Us.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
Didn't feel very season finale to me.
Except
for doing that little twist at the end, you know, they had to go and get that twist in there and say, fuck you to us.
Well, this whole episode was about Kevin and Madison getting married.
And other people remembering their wedding days.
Correct. And at the end, they don't get married. Mm-hmm. Because Kate is... Madison doesn't, basically loves Kevin, but Kevin doesn't love her and she knows it. And even when he tries to talk her into getting married, he can't even bring himself to say, I love you to her.
Yeah.
He says he does like the, I love what you do for our children. I love how great of a mother you are. I love that we're a family together, but he never says he loves her. And mm-hmm. so they essentially break up. And earlier in the episode, you see him doing the Princess Bride.
My marriage
is what brings us together today. True love. And he's like, yeah, it's going to kill. And then you see him doing it again at the end of the episode, except it's not for his wedding. It's for Kate's wedding. And we don't know how far in the future we are at this point.
I think it's a year because she said something about, or she said, you're 45. Or he
and
said
they were 40 when it started.
Oh, that's
the
true.
Season started. The first episode was the big 40. So it's 5 years in the future then. All right.
Maybe,
the math.
Maybe he said 41. I don't know.
No, he said 45.
Okay.
Actually, you're right. He did say 45. But it's Kate's getting married. And Kate's getting married to her boss from the school. Because Toby gets a job in San Francisco. Gets offered a job in San Francisco and accepts it. Mm-hmm. And he's going to take the job. So Kate calls to quit. And her boss, who has never liked her, embarrassingly, until this episode, I did not realize he was the guy from You're the Worst.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy there.
Jimmy. I didn't realize it. I think it's because we've always seen him with his mask on.
Right.
Until this episode. And she calls him, I'm guessing, at home and says she's going to quit because her husband got a job. And he says, you know, I never wanted you. And she's like, yeah, I get it. No, let me finish. I never wanted you. You weren't qualified. I hated that they forced me to take you. But you're one of the best teachers we've ever had. The students love you, you know, on and on and on. And I refuse to accept your resignation. So see you at work. And he hangs up. She's marrying him.
Yeah.
And Kevin and Madison seem to be on very good terms together.
Uh-huh.
Because she's one of the bridesmaids. So I don't know if they actually end up getting together or what's going on, because they don't explore that. And then what was the other part in this one? Yeah, that's pretty much all that matters.
No, we had like the flashback to Rebecca and Jack fighting because he taped over the Dynasty wedding.
Right. And so the kids make them get remarried.
Yeah. And that becomes a thing, if you will.
That was fluffy filler, I thought. I didn't think it really affected the story. It was like, hey, let's just add this in.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely was not necessary, I guess.
Yeah.
We had some work with Tess and her dress because, you know, she basically didn't like the look of it. She's like, this isn't who I am.
See, this pissed me off, to be honest.
Because you know what? Nobody likes wearing a bridesmaid's dress. Nobody gets to have a say in wearing the bridesmaid's dress.
See, what I didn't like about it the most was I thought she was trying to twist this as in saying, this isn't me. This isn't who I am. She doesn't want to wear a dress. She wants to wear pants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I thought it was the whole point of wearing the dress that she hated. No, she just didn't like the way the dress looked because her mother like paints it black or some crap. I don't know. Restyles it so that it's still a dress. It's just so that went from me going, oh, OK, well, she's. Wants to be accepted of who she is and who she is. She doesn't want to wear a dress. That's fine. But no, she still want to wear that dress the way it was. So that pissed me off because that's not how it works.
Yeah.
When you're a bridesmaid, you wear the dress you're stuck with.
Yeah. And the way that Beth just comes in and she's like, by the way, I'm going to make some changes. Do you think that she's going to be upset? And he's like, and she's like, okay, great. I'm doing it. Bye.
No, yeah, I didn't. I hated that.
Yeah.
It's not that I didn't like it. I hated it.
They have the little mother-daughter, you know, where they're like, she's like, oh, I haven't been doing very good. And she's like, oh, I've been being a jerk to you, Mom. You've been doing good. You've been getting stuff right. I've just been being a little jerk.
Yep.
And yeah, it was not necessary, really. And the other thing that we kind of touched upon in here, both with Deja and Malik. This was something that hit close to home for me. Deja and Malik, when he got 5 for 5 on his colleges, and one of them was Harvard up in Boston.
Yeah.
And then also with Toby and Kate, you know, where he was like, he finally just broke free. And I got to say, he did it in the worst way possible, because he's had all these opportunities to like talk to her about it and say, OK, you know, we've got to talk about this, or, you know, hey, I wanted to talk to you about something serious. He didn't have to wait until the wedding day and then be like, I need to get out of the house. I can't stand our children. I love them, but I can't stand them. And I need to get out of the house and I need to have a job. And I'm thinking about going to San Francisco. And, you know, he just. He let it build up for too long and yep. then just kind of dumped it all on her. And, you know, she was realistic when she was like, yeah, you know what? You just told me you're getting a job across the country and you started a sentence with, I love our kids, but. So I need to breathe for a minute and just kind of process this before I can respond. And he's like, okay.
Reasonable. Very reasonable. Yeah.
But in both cases, what they were talking about was the stress of long distance and mm-hmm. whether or not it can survive. So that kind of became part of the catalyst for the twist at the end, because we're led to wonder, was it the stress of long distance? Was it Toby's health? I mean, he's already had a heart attack in one of the earlier seasons. Yeah. Like, did he die? Is he just out of the picture? Like, did he go back into a depressive spiral? Why is this happening? So, yeah. Long distance sucks, and
yep.
they touched upon it briefly.
Yeah, they did. So, we've got that's it for this season. We got one more season. They've announced it's going to be the final season, so at least, and it says it's going to be 18 episodes.
What I'm wondering is how are they going to handle this? Because this was a 4 or 5 year time jump. So are they going to just jump ahead, or are we going to see flash forwards interspersed through the season?
They've always done the flash forwards. I think that's what we're going to see, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, they could roll into the new season 5 years in the future.
Were you disappointed like I was that we never got any more of the story of the future with Rebecca in the cabin, you know, getting ready to pass away?
Well, it wasn't the cabin. It was the house near the cabin. And Rebecca did tell Kevin to build it for her.
Right.
So I feel like we will explore that in season 6.
I just felt like we got that in the beginning of the season. We got it at the end of the last season. Like, and it was kind of interwoven throughout the season. Why did we? Yeah.
Did they really talk about it that much this season? I really didn't think they did.
It's been 2 or 3 times here and there. That it's just like snuck in. And, you know, there was that whole with Randall standing out there with his daughter and he's like, oh, look who it is. And we don't get to see who it is. And, you know, we got to see Kevin with the kids.
Yeah. Saying,
you
know, yeah. Mom's okay. Coming,
and we didn't get to see who the mom was. And so, you know, there were a lot of mysteries around that. And then it never came back.
Well, I'm sure they'll explore it in the next season. I'm sure they'll wrap everything up nicely.
I'm sure, knowing that they've done this good of a job so far and knowing that they have one season left.
Let's see here. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, Bree.
Bree? Oh, Debris.
Debris. We got the season finale of Debris, which a few days later became the series finale.
So
and they announced that it was canceled. So I guess.
Which we called it. We knew that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
But come on. Like, it was awesome. It was a great show. We were really enjoying it. And then they're just like, yeah, not going to. Maybe. There was one show that got canceled recently. What was it? Within the past couple of episodes, we were talking about it. But basically, there was a show that got canceled. And, basically they were shopping it around to a couple other places and it looked like HBO might pick it up and HBO was like, no, we don't want to. So they're still shopping it around. I wish I could remember which one it was.
I don't know.
But yeah,
I don't really feel the need to dive into this because it's done. It's all over.
Oh, Prodigal Son was the one. Prodigal Son got canceled by Fox.
Ah, yes.
And it looked like HBO or Netflix might pick it up. HBO passed. They're still trying to shop it around, but maybe debris will get passed around to somebody else.
Maybe. I mean, I guess basically the long and short of it in this episode is George Jones basically reveals that he asked them to kill him, asked them to bring him back, and he's been working for Influx the whole time.
Yeah, along with Walter Bishop. I mean, Walter Bishop.
Yeah, exactly. Because
he has an Australian accent and can telekinetically twist people's heads around their bodies. And
yeah. But yeah, it's and the episode kind of ends with George going off with Influx and Brian telling us the reason why they give him injections is because he was one of the three people that had contact with a piece of debris and it didn't kill him. Like it does everybody else, and it's affected him somehow.
And the thing is, he's been taking injections. She's like, for what? He goes, we don't know yet.
Yeah, nothing's happened since
they started taking the injections.
Right, yeah. And so basically Fiona is like, we have to call Maddox and tell him what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But Maddox is dealing with his own business, so he didn't answer the phone. And again, it all doesn't fucking matter because they canceled the series.
Yeah, we even got like a little PS scene at the end. We didn't get any radio chatter over the credits. It was all just beeps, just like the little meep. But we did get like a little PS scene where they had said earlier on in the episode that the orb that had appeared last episode disappeared. No sightings, no reports. Nobody knew where it was. And it kind of shows up to this, you assume, Native American shaman type who's sitting out on a blanket. And he kind of looks up at it and he's like, you've had a long trip. And he walks over to a cave and there's a dude there and the dude sees the orb and kind of ushers it in. And then they say that they've got a lot of work to do. And then we see like, I guess maybe a stasis pod or something that has, what's her name in there?
Fiona in it.
Yeah.
Fiona in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the dude that sees it is also a guy who delivered stuff to Fiona earlier in the season on behalf of her handler. And he was like, yeah, you can't trust her, by the way.
Yeah.
So we saw him before. So I was like talking to my buddy Brandon. I mentioned this to you and I mentioned this to him. And it's just basically gotten to the point because he was mad they canceled it as well. Where he's just like, you can't have a good sci-fi show on TV anymore, especially NBC, because they'll cancel it after one season. So why even bother watching? And my response to him, and I said it to you as well, which is at this point, you just need to wait for the first season to air, see if it gets canceled or not. And if it doesn't, then watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, why bother?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a valid point, you know. And the other thing to his point is, depending on the network, they're going to ruin it in one way or another. You know, look at what NBC does to some of these shows, like Blacklist or Blind Spot.
Yeah.
They take what should be a finite storyline and then go, oh, we're going to let it keep going. And then the writers are like, well, fuck, what do we do now? Like, we had a story that was written out.
Yeah.
Or you throw it on a network like the CW. And they run it to death with romance and drama and bullshit.
They run it to death to someone, to the fans turn against it.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I can't stress to you enough how much hate I'm seeing all over the place for this season of Flash, Supergirl, Superman and Lois. I mean, Batwoman. People hate these shows, but Flash more than any other. I mean, the hatred out there, and it's not even like, you know, fuck this show, I'm gonna fucking murder the writers. Not that kind of hatred. I'm talking like the people like us who are like, I used to love this show. What have they done to it? This is ridiculous. It's stupid. I guess in the past like several weeks, Barry hasn't had any powers because the Speed Force is manifested as, you know, Nora. It's called Nora, but it's his mom, and is fighting the other forces. And so Barry just like does a pep talk every week and rallies everybody to, you know, do their best. And all he does is talk. So yeah, it people are hating it. So yeah, to your point about turning the fans against it.
Yep. No, that's exactly what's happening. It's exactly what's happening. Well, speaking of another show, I'm not saying the fans are being turned against it. But I'm saying I definitely don't get the warm and fuzzies every week to watch this. Like I have other shows on this channel in the past. And that I'm talking about is Disney Plus and Star Wars The Bad Batch.
I knew it. As soon as you said that, I was like, oh.
You know, the Mandalorian, the Marvel shows, I get excited each and every week. I got excited each and every week for the new episodes to come on so I could watch them, especially the Mandalorian. The first episode
of The Bad Batch, whew.
Yeah, I love the way it started, but it has just gone downhill. Not like it took a draw. It's just gone downhill every single episode. Right. Mm-hmm. After each episode, I'm just like, well, that was on.
Yep. Yep. And in this case, come on. Do we really need an origin story for Jabba's fucking rancor? Like,
yeah.
Do we really need to know where it was when it was a baby and that the Bad Batch helped rescue it from slavers?
Yeah, no. No, we don't.
and that they kind of hinted that Luke could have easily, you know, not killed him as long as he had just, like, beat him up and showed him that he was the alpha. Because that's how rancors work.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, no, I just didn't care for it.
I not only did I not care for it, I was a little bit miffed. I was like, why are they doing this? This was a great show. It had political intrigue, but not like clubbing you over the head. It was telling stories that we wanted to know. You know, I thought we were going to get more about Kanan's story. I thought that we were going to get more about Crosshair. Where is Crosshair? We haven't seen him in the past couple episodes. We don't know about the Republic. We know very little about the Republic and the Empire and their struggles. It's just every week now we seem to be getting a, let's see how we can bring Omega into trouble, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of trouble is she going to get up to this week? Ooh.
Yeah, it's not been good.
Yeah. So I'm with you on that one, buddy.
I eat noise. Why don't you tell us about Solo's episode, Tom?
So this was Anthony Mackie. And once again, we're seeing the theme here where we've got one actor on the screen. In this case, this is one actor interacting with himself. And he did a phenomenal job. I forgot a couple of times that it was just him.
Yeah.
But it's like where the first one gave us time travel and her struggles and we got to learn about her. In this one, we learn about him, but we never fully get the concept. Like, is this – so he's meeting with himself. That's air quotes. But he – it slowly unspools through dialogue. They never actually overtly tell you. There's no narration. There's no like complete, oh, this is what we're doing. So you got to kind of piece it together, but they never really tell you what the other Anthony Mackie is. But essentially, it seems that Anthony Mackie's character, Tom, is dying, and he's dying quickly. He's going to be dead soon. Somehow, they have this duplicate of him. You don't know if it's a clone or an android or an alien or what. I mean, you would think clone, but then he talks about things like how he can remember everything perfectly and how, you know, he's got he read through all of the business reports and he read this and he read this, you know, at very quick paces, which makes you think android. But then if it's an android and they're that sufficiently advanced, why is this guy dying of something that probably they would spend their time curing rather than creating a duplicate of him? So he essentially is meeting with this duplicate of himself, and he has paid 30 grand. He mentions that like 16 times. He has paid 30 grand for this to take his place when he dies inevitably. It seemed like he was saying that his family wouldn't know, and then sometimes it was like, no, they will definitely know that this is not him, because you know, the duplicate at one point he's talking and he's like, you know, I'll make sure that they know that it's not you, you know, like when your wife cuts a fart, I'll say red alert, and different quirks that, you know, belong to him, but making it just different enough that they'd be like, oh, the real dad wouldn't have done that. So I liked it, but at the same time, I felt that we were getting like somebody ripped three chapters out of a book and handed them to us.
Sure.
We didn't get the full beginning and we didn't get the ending. We just got like part of the middle. We came in the middle of a conversation and we left in the middle of a conversation. So it wasn't bad, but it continued the theme. You know, in the first one, we had her struggling against herself and seeing different versions of herself. And in this one, it's the same kind of thing where he basically is seeing himself and fighting with him at one point. You know, he's like, this guy's an asshole. And they're like, yeah, you have an asshole quotient of 7 or something like that. So he had to face who he was. And but again, they don't tell you if it's a clone or an android. Like, was he programmed this way or was he grown from DNA samples or an alien, you know, like a Skrull?
Yeah.
I don't know. Am I missing anything? What did you think of this?
No, you're not missing anything in my opinion. I'm just going to say it kind of was what it was. I kind of feel the same way you do.
Yeah. It wasn't bad, but at the same time, like, it immediately destroyed, well, by the end, it destroyed all of my hopes that we would have a common thread running through all the stories. I mean, maybe we will. Maybe they'll do a thing like that Modern Love where the last episode will show how each of them were in a certain area, or like her time travel leads to the creation of these synthetic duplicates of people or something like that. You know, maybe there will be something, but I don't know. So I will say that I watched the next episode of MODOK and it's still good. It's still what it is. This time he breaks into SHIELD headquarters to steal back his time machine. It's a little wrist activated time machine, and he travels back because, you know, his wife's going to leave him and he wants to travel back to the Third Eye Blind concert that they never went to because whatever. And they find out by the end that it's because that was the night that they found out that their daughter was going to be born. And so they never made it to the concert. So it's got some touching moments and then it's got some ridiculous moments, and I'm still enjoying it.
Kate and I finished watching Mare from Easttown on HBO Max. It is it's 7 episodes. They are calling it the series finale. It was not based on any other material. It's original material. And like I said, it's been called the series finale. So as of now, there's no intention of doing a second season. And we both really, really enjoyed it.
I saw a headline and I wanted to ask you about this because, of course, I didn't get into the show, but it said Mare of Easttown's finale works better if you ignore the murder. No, I didn't read the whole article, but that's what it said. And I didn't know if that made sense to you or. No.
Mare of Easttown is better if you ignore the murder.
The finale. They said the finale works better if you ignore everything about the murder.
No. No. God, no.
Okay.
If they're talking, okay, if you ignore everything about the murder, no, no. No. Hey, Kate, I'm talking about Mare of Easttown with John, and he just said that he read that the finale episode works better if you ignore everything in it about the murder. And they're saying that if you take everything out of the finale that has to do with the murder and just go with whatever else they talked about in it, it's better. The murder of the girl. No comment on that. Okay, never mind. She's got nothing. She doesn't understand what I'm saying, apparently. All right. Okay. No, I don't think it makes it better at all.
Okay.
Hold on a second. I just gave her a spoiler filled way of saying it. And she went, oh, no, God, no. So I didn't want to give away the ending. So I muted. No, it's not better at all. If you take out everything about the murder of the story, it actually, in my opinion, makes it even better. Yeah. Are you still there?
Sorry, I muted. Okay. Yeah, I was saying that I found the article and I'll send it over to you for after the podcast so that you can read it and see if it makes more sense what they're saying or not. Just no, it's an AV club and it says Mayor of Easttown's finale is best enjoyed by ignoring the murder mystery altogether.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Okay.
Nah. No, I think you should watch it. I think it's real good.
What else?
The only other show I watched this week was Jupiter's Legacy.
I was looking at my list. I have continued watching that show on Hulu. Everything's going to be okay. Really enjoy the show. Oh my God. The second episode, like the brother got locked out of the house and he climbed in through a window and fell and broke his pinky. And it was one of the best depictions of that because like, I don't know how they did it, prosthetic or makeup or whatever, but they bent that finger like at the first joint. They bent it all the way over to the side and it looked awful, but he didn't like scream or cry. He just like, he kind of stood there and he's like, ah, and the shock took over him. And then when his sisters came home, he was like, nah, I've got a problem. And one of them's trying to fix him. And the other one's like, we've got to go to the hospital. And he's like, no, I don't want to go to the hospital. You know, he's saying things like, she's like, where's your insurance card? He's like, oh, they sent me one. She's like, well, where'd you put it? He goes, I don't know. Well, you need to give that to them. They don't just keep that on record. No, you need to give it to them. Oh, what a stupid system this is. Because he's been spending time in Australia. It's a great show. It's super fun. And I also continued this weekend. That was with Julia. And we also continued our watch of Happy Endings, which continues to be a great show. It's so much fun now to go back and rewatch it again and see some of the stars from other shows be like, oh, it's him. Yeah. Oh, it's her. So yeah, loving it. But yeah, other than that, it's just Jupiter's Legacy.
So I've been kind of summarizing through this AV Club article and this person is all wrong. And yeah. I hope you didn't read it.
No, I have not.
Good, you shouldn't. But this person is all wrong. They have completely minimized what happened. I feel like they missed the point of it. And I think they're just angry that they went the direction they went. Yeah, no. I disagree with this person's no. Completely. Excellent. It's like the article I read about the Friends reunion the other day where clearly the person that wrote it just hates Friends. And so he can't have a non-biased opinion of the show. Mm-hmm. So.
Gotcha. Okay.
Jupiter's Legacy, episode number 4, All the Devils Are Here. We get to see a lot of backstory about Chloe and getting fired from her apparently last endorsement gig for her behavior on set. And her agency dropping her and then her landlord hates her. And then she finds some heavy drugs and she just kind of, descends, if you will, into snorting drugs and partying to the point where at the end of the episode, we see her, choking on her own vomit from an overdose on the floor.
Now, the part that you kind of glossed over there was that all of that previous stuff before she found the drugs was what led her to be walking in the street when the van hit her in the last episode.
Correct. Yes.
And then the drugs are what she found from the wreckage of the van after everybody was gone and that one guy disappeared to Indiana.
Yeah.
Who then shows up back at her place when she's convulsing to pick up the bag of drugs and looks at her and he's like, huh.
So we'll see what happens there. I'm guessing he's going to save her life. I doubt they're going to let her die from an overdose, but we'll see. Right. But I know I just minimized half the episode by basically talking about it in 4 sentences, but it was very good and worth watching.
Yeah, it made me care about her a little bit more as a person.
Yes. Yes, it told a good story. Like, the reason why she gets fired from the endorsement deal is because, you know, one of the person there on set wants her to pick a car up over her head because she's strong and she can do it and be a great photo and this and that. And Chloe doesn't want to do that. She doesn't want to be known for her powers.
Right.
She doesn't want to be, you know, used for the fact that she has powers. And that's what this person's doing. And when she picks the car, but you see, it was not so hard. Chloe's like, no. And she threw the car, which was $1 million
right.
car, probably. So she went about things the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I enjoyed it. And then the secondary story of where they're in the past is Sheldon, you know, basically going on the road, if you will, meeting up with a guy who's got a flat tire and helping him change his tire after, you know, they decide he's not a threat. And going to this small town in Kansas City, he gets his ass whooped by the locals when he tries to stand up for an old man. And this little girl finally sees the picture of the windmill and tells him where it is. And so he mm-hmm. goes to the property of the windmill, the Miller farm, if you will. And there we get Clarence Boddicker, or Red from That 70s Shows, whatever you want to call him. And, he basically tells him that he's had visions as well, just like Sheldon does.
Mm-hmm.
And tells him he recognizes that Sheldon's talking to his dead dad or somebody, but it's his dead dad, and says, who are you talking to there? And he's basically says he's had visions of his dead loved ones as well. And do not do what they say. Do not follow their advice. Go against what they say. And then he kills himself.
Now, when you see this guy, is your first instinct Clarence Boddicker or Red Foreman?
Clarence Boddicker.
Okay.
Always. Because that's what I mean, I watched RoboCop so many times when I was a kid, especially at an age when I should not have been watching RoboCop.
right.
And so I always go to Clarence Boddicker, not Red. Because with Red, all I can think of him is going, dumbass, dumbass, dumbass. Like that's all he said, basically, uh-huh. you know? Whereas in, you know, Clarence Boddicker, he said a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So. But yeah. Nope. Clarence Boddicker is who I think about.
I feel like at this point they're going to wait to show us whatever it is, the cave or whatever, where the powers yeah. are first enacted. They're going to wait until the end of the season for that, because then they'll have a tie into the second season. I kind of wish they would just tell us and then get back to, you know, what's going on in the present day.
Yeah, we're halfway through the show, 4 episodes left. I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it thoroughly.
Oh, me too.
I was a little the first episode, I was a little apprehensive about it. But second episode, I left that behind, and then I really loved the third episode.
Yes,
you know,
yes, I did.
You know, Hotch there. So, but it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Like, you know, we can easily read all the results, if you will, the spoilers, and find out. But I'm avoiding them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it's a great show. I don't know if it's been renewed for a second season yet, but
I don't know either. Yeah.
But yeah, I've been enjoying it quite a bit, and looking forward to seeing what else they've got.
I didn't watch any movies this week.
I watched one, but it was not a new one.
Okay. Did I technically watch a movie this week?
I don't know. Did you?
No, I did that thing where I suffered from paralysis of choice, and I put on. I turned on a few movies, but I never actually watched that enough of that to consider it having watched. I'm gonna say, I put on a bunch of stuff. I just couldn't decide what I wanted to watch. Okay. I watched a ton of wrestling, a big pay per view on last night, Sunday night. I watched. Dark Side of the Ring is back on Vice, and it's absolutely amazing. It's just great documentaries. It's good for wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans alike, in my opinion. So
yeah,
but I didn't watch any movies all the way through. So what did you watch for a movie?
We went away this weekend, and she had never seen it, so I wanted to watch it with her. But Warm Bodies.
Oh, okay.
great movie. You know, it's a romance with some comedy to it, but basically, you know, the zombie apocalypse has happened. There's a city of people who are still alive and they fight the zombies, you know, to gather supplies and whatever. But some of the zombies are starting to come back to life. Like, they're starting to be able to talk a little bit, and, you know, their movements are a little less jerky, and they have desires and ambitions. And yeah, it's just, it's a fun movie. She liked it quite a bit.
Nice. Well, I'm glad she did.
Yeah. Trailers, we got a flood of them.
Yeah, there was a bunch that came out.
Some of them were really good. I've been waiting for a while because I had been reading the news on, but I had never seen anything. But we finally got the trailer for Gunpowder Milkshake.
Yes.
And I am thrilled for this movie. Basically, it's Karen Gillan as the daughter of an assassin. And she's now got to, you know, take up arms and kind of take on the family business. And it just, it looks like a John Wick kind of thing, except for with all women. And it looks phenomenal. Can't wait for this.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about it myself. It looks pretty damn awesome.
Yep. And then we got the trailer right after that for Last Night in Soho, which is Edgar Wright's newest movie.
And what did you think about that one?
I thought it looked bizarre, twisted, weird, and I'll check it out. I'm not going to the theaters to see it.
No.
I think it'll have a lot of critical acclaim, but I don't think it's going to draw a big audience because it's very weird looking. It's got Anya Taylor-Joy,
yep,
one of the main leads, so, you know, that'll draw in some people after the Queen's Gambit. And like I said, it's Edgar Wright, and it looks bizarre enough that the critics will probably be all over it. But yeah, it piqued my curiosity, but not my full interest.
Same here. You shared The Tomorrow War, which is Amazon original flick with Chris Pratt.
Yep.
It's about people that go to the future to fight a war to help save humanity.
Yep. Basically, that's the people from the future come back and recruit them. They're like, hey, come with us. You got to fight the war for us.
Yeah,
and drag them to the future to fight a war.
What did you think of False?
Very action.
Yeah, oh yeah, a lot of action. Definitely a lot of action. What did you think of False Positive?
I thought it looks like a horror movie, and it looks like it jumps through all the horror hoops and tropes. I don't know. It didn't blow me away.
I think it'll be very disappointing in the end.
Yeah, I can see that. It didn't give me anything that, like, excited me.
It's got Alana Glazier in it.
Mm-hmm. And Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, as the Doctor.
He's having a resurgence lately. You notice that?
I have noticed that. Alana Glazier, I've only seen her in comedies.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always got, you know, her hair just looks so different in this. I didn't recognize her at first because it's long and straight and it's like kind of a horror movie, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Just, it took me a little bit to realize it was her.
Hmm.
But yeah, no, he's got, let's see here. He's got, the Misfits coming out here. False Positive. He's in Cinderella. He's in Black Adam. Some animated movie called River Dance. So yeah, he's got a lot of lot going on.
Mm-hmm. I sent you the teaser for Cobra Kai season 4.
Yeah, that was a good teaser. It wasn't 2.5 minutes long that told us nothing. It was, you know, 30 seconds and told us, hey, Terry Silver's coming back.
Yep, with the actor standing right there. Oh, yep. Yeah. So,
that's great. Yeah, that looks awesome.
I sent you the latest M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Oh, thank you for that. Yes, and I can't decide if this is going to be a good M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movie or if it's going to be a bait and switch that it actually sucks in the end, because it's, you know, it's again, he's been consistent enough with The Sixth Sense being excellent, Unbreakable being excellent, Split being excellent, and then, you know, everything else being garbage, that
my prediction is that it's not going to live up to the hype. I think it's going to be like, oh, it's the latest M. Night Shyamalan, and it's going to be disappointing. That's my prediction.
Let's see.
You sent me one, The Cleaning.
Well, I sent you it just basically be like, this looks like a dumb TV show. It's a TV show about a girl from South America somewhere who is she's an illegal alien in the United States. Her son, well, her visa ran out, so he got here legally. She was a doctor where she was from. Her son is a boy in a bubble type thing, disease with some, you know, autoimmune disease or something he has, and she's trying to get him treatment and can't because it's expensive. She doesn't have insurance, and now her visa's expired. And she works as a cleaning lady, and in the trailer shows that she witnesses basically a mob hit, and they're gonna kill her, but she's like, I can clean this up for you. And does, and then the guy hires her to, you know, clean up all the other crime scenes they commit. Mm-hmm. So my comment was, this would be a better movie than an ongoing TV series.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't plan on watching it. I just happened to watch the trailer, and I was like, oh, what's this about? And I'm like, oh, this is a TV series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No thanks.
You shared some news. Oh, no. You also shared the Infinite trailer.
Yep. Which, it's a Mark Wahlberg movie, so
yeah,
it'll be good, but it'll also be a Mark Wahlberg movie.
And it's a Paramount Plus original.
Yes, that was interesting.
That's kind of key in this as well. But
so basically, the idea is that it dives into past lives.
Yep.
So he has lived different lives before as different people, and now if he can unlock those memories, then it will make him a better person.
Yeah, when it first started, okay, mm-hmm. You see him sitting there in a room, and there's a sword, and it's called Infinite, and I'm like, is this like a Highlander ripoff?
Yeah, that's what I thought at first, too.
Yeah, and then you watch the rest of the trail, and it's like, oh, okay, kind of interesting. So.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we had some news items. Some of them I shared with you. Some of them I did not.
Alrighty.
So, everyone's probably seen this, but I'll say it once anyway. Amazon has officially acquired MGM. It was about $8.45 billion. So they will now have a lot of classic movies, all the James Bond stuff, etc.
Yeah. Well, we had talked kind of go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, no, it's funny because I thought, didn't we just talk kind of last week about, was it Marvel or Disney buying DC?
Yeah.
And then, which I know it's unrelated, but then I was like, oh, Amazon bought MGM.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
So Aaron Taylor Johnson has been cast as Kraven the Hunter in the Spider-Verse movies. You know, the Sony Spider-Verse.
And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now they've got Venom. They're working on Carnage. That's coming out soon. Morbius keeps getting pushed back, but that will exist. And now we will have Kraven the Hunter. So they're building to the possibility of a Sinister Six because, you know, in those two Spider-Man movies, we already had Mysterio and Vulture, as well as alluding to Scorpion. So, you know, with this third Spider-Man movie, this kind of rolls into that. No Way Home, they've been talking about all the different stars who are going to be joining it. You know, Alfred Molina as Doc Ock. Jamie Foxx is coming back as Electro. There was the rumors about Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield coming in. They've kind of shut those down, but they haven't totally shut them down. People are still convinced. It's kind of like when they were doing Star Trek Into Darkness and everyone was like, yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch is Khan. And they're like, no, he's not. He's John Morrison. And they're like, no, he's Khan. And they're like, no, he's really John Morrison. Then, you know, they were like, ha ha, we fooled you. He's Khan. And everyone's like, yeah, duh, we said he was Khan. So I feel like it's the same way here. Now they're saying, you know, Kirsten Dunst and Emma Stone are going to be reprising their roles. And Emma Stone's like, no, I'm denying that. I am not going to be in that. Yeah, right. But the latest rumor from that is that what's his name there? Willem Dafoe is going to be in it as the Green Goblin, as the leader of the Sinister Six across the multiverse.
Well, there you go then.
Yeah. So I'm definitely down for that.
Me too.
Debris was canceled, as I said. So this is weird. So HBO Max, HBO Max is teaming up with Danny McBride to create a brand new series based on the Garbage Pail Kids.
Pass.
It's going to be an animated Garbage Pail Kids TV series. McBride will write and co-create the new series with longtime collaborator David Gordon Green, as well as Solar Opposites executive producer Josh Bicell. Hard pass.
Yeah, pass.
Hard pass. I can't believe that they're doing that. So we got some Evil Dead Rise news this week, which was pretty good. So it's a go, and it will debut exclusively on HBO Max. Yep. Bruce Campbell will not star in the film. He will serve as a producer alongside Raimi and Rob Tappert. As the Hole in the Ground director Lee Cronin will take over behind the camera.
Excellent. Which Hole in the Ground was okay.
Yeah. And what was the one that that Lee Cronin just did recently that we were like, oh. Yeah.
I don't know. It was Hole in the Ground.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I don't think he's done anything else.
Okay. Fed Alvarez, Home the 2013 reboot, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that was good.
So they're moving the action out of the woods into the city.
He's only done The Hole in the Ground.
Oh, so yeah. Evil Dead Rise will tell the twisted tale of two estranged sisters played by Alyssa Sutherland and Lily Sullivan, whose reunion is cut short by the rise of flesh-possessing demons, thrusting them into a primal battle for survival as they face the most nightmarish version of family imaginable. So, yeah. Great. It's coming to HBO Max. Remember how a couple weeks back we were talking about the fact that like Netflix has kind of fallen by the wayside for us? Like,
sure,
we'll have like a show or two, but if I'm going to watch something, if I'm like, boy, I want to watch something different, it's no longer my go-to. Like, it's third or fourth tier. Like, I'll usually go with Prime Video first and HBO Max second, or swap them around.
Yeah. And, yeah. I've been watching Netflix less and less. My kids still watch it a lot.
This right here is another win for HBO Max.
Oh, it certainly is. Yeah.
So, and then the final piece of news that I have to share with you, my friend, the CW has confirmed a holiday special coming up based on the Arrowverse.
Oh, okay.
But wait, just because it's based on the Arrowverse doesn't mean that it's going to have the Flash or Oliver Queen or anything. No, no, no. They're going to be doing a 1-hour animated special called Bebo Saves Christmas. Yes.
Oh, I watched the shit out of that, actually.
Bebo Saves Christmas. When Sprinkles, an energy, an efficiency-obsessed elf, decides that Christmas would run better without Santa Claus, Bebo and his friends travel to the North Pole to help discover what truly makes Christmas meaningful. Starring Ben Diskin as the voice of Bebo, Kimiko Glenn as the voice of Tweebo, Yvette Nicole Brown as the voice of Turbo, Keith Ferguson as the voice of Fleebo, Chris Kattan as the voice of Sprinkles, Ernie Hudson as the voice of Santa, and Victor Garber as the narrator. Bebo Saves Christmas is produced by Warner Brothers Animation, written by Matt Mala and Kevin Schnick. Executive produced by Sam Register, Greg Berlanti, Sarah Schechter, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, we're getting an animated Bebo Christmas special.
Yeah, I approve.
I fucking approve so hardcore.
That's going to be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all we got for news.
I read earlier this week that The Orville Season 3 is coming out in October of this year, allegedly.
Finally?
Allegedly.
OK. Okay.
Only 2.5 years after the end of season two.
Yeah. They're not going to get a fourth season. They can't at this point. Like, they've pushed this out so far that...
Yeah, no, it's not happening.
Yeah.
It's just too bad. It was so freaking good.
It was. And it is. It still is. I mean, it's not like it's gone, but yeah.
So, no, I got nothing else either.
Okay. So I guess that's our show for this week.
I guess our show for this week. Yeah. We'll talk to you next week about more shows and stuff and things. I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
And I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you next week.